from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
11:03 in the nation's capital. And little Biggie Smalls, I just got a little note that Denton has been on a boycott, but he will at least satisfy some of our interests before we sign off for the rest of the week. And he's been killing me with some of these musical interludes. But I'm trying to keep a positive attitude. Baltimore is our next stop. Mike, welcome to 98.
Hey, Doc.
What's going on?
Lifelong Redskin fan. I think one of the biggest keys this year is the quality of the coaching staff. And back to your day, one of the things that was so amazing was the halftime adjustment. So what do you think the key to Joe Gibbs' halftime adjustments? Who came up with them, and how did you guys do that?
Well, it was him and his staff. I mean, being around people, the hours, these guys, just like this, these people are, I mean, they're workaholics. They also understood their personnel and their system as well, because they've been together. And you got to be able to fix things immediately and know how to do it. And I just think for us, Joe Theismann, having an experienced quarterback, I think is half the battle. Now, you don't have that now. You got a very talented guy who is going to be inexperienced in his first year. He's a rookie, not his fault. But I think when you got a guy that's been under center that gets it, that's half the battle. And then the next thing is their protection. But if you can protect him, and he had the hogs. So if you're protecting your guy and he knows what to do, and then who else is he throwing to? You got a James Arthur Monk. So it hardly never fails. People don't accidentally win. They win because they have better talent. And the talent works together well. It's a collaborative effort, man. Nobody accidentally sneaks up on anybody. Not in the NFL. Not in pro ball. You pay for what you get, and then when you get it well, it likes you back, it produces. K9, Bonesy on 2. What up?
Hey, what's going on, Doc? Shout out to my main man, Denton Day. Shout out to my nephew, G from the shop. You know,
he's up. He's concern, up.
Yeah, my only concern, Doc, man, is how the defense going to function. So that's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on to see how the defense going to function, see if we're able to stop people, man, and can get, you know, three and outs, man, and, you know, get people off the field, you know what I'm saying, so that we can move the ball on offense. So that's my whole concern. You know, I just want to see how the defense going to function. I love you guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you, man, and thank you back. It is everything is the defense. And for me, we've got the best punter in the universe, but it's going to come down to how we place kick, how we handle this kickoff, our coverages, who is going to be our Otis Wansley. And, you know, we've got Pro Bowlers on our special teams. We know we've got Reeves. We've got monsters. But who's going to be new blood? The platform is there. And when you bring back and you sign guys, it's an opportunity to impress a new staff. Having had six different head coaches in 9 years, some of the things, the best things that can happen to you is that you're trying to impress a new staff. So you're on your P's and Q's. You're on it longer because it's that important to you to show up and show out because you're constantly being evaluated. And I think that's a good thing. And just listening to yesterday on Grant and Danny, on the Fan, you could hear Adam Peters and talk about their base philosophy, how he pulled this team together and the assets they have and how they work together, how they evaluate their personnel, how they collaborate, what they take input. It's a collaborative effort, not just a dictatorship. It was a brilliant, brilliant interview, and he spent a lot of time with Grant and Danny. And the more we hear from him, of course, now he's a Bruin. So some of you are going to have to slow down so you can keep up. But it just shows you that this process chews up a lot of hours, you know, and you still are constantly learning. How we doing, DD? We good for Jonesy?
Jones, are you there?
Jones, yeah, you here. Sound like you're talking through an inner tube.
Oh, no, I'm not. Okay. Hey, I'm here, man.
Listen, okay, all right, what up?
The day first of all, my concern, you know, going with the quarantine is can we keep our quarterback upright? So, and who right. is protecting that blind side? You know, I'm thinking about left tackle. I'm thinking about left guard. It's one thing to be able to brace for what's coming at you, you know, from the right side. But it's a whole other thing when you don't know what's behind you or what's going to hit you. You can't brace for that. So, concern right there. And, you know, my number two, who is my number two receiver? Who is it going to be? Is it going to be De'Ami Brown? Is it going to be somebody that they have in mind? Like I said, I'm trusting the process here. So it's just a thing that I'm just waiting and seeing and sitting. So hopefully they, you know, we can come out with a W when we play Tampa. Other than that, that's all I got for you. I'm out, Doc.
Appreciate it, K-9. Didn't you? Are you as hung up on the number two receiver as a lot of people are?
Well, you got to find somebody. If not, Terry's going to be getting doubled by like week five, and life's going to be miserable. Somebody has to step up. I don't know if it's going to be De'Ami, Noah Brown, maybe it's OZ, but somebody has to step up. There has not been a legit number two wide receiver since Terry's been here. You know, Jahan showed spurts of it, but he never graduated to being that guy. And the 1 year it looked like he was, he got hurt. And then last year was an abject disaster in the passing game for reasons that aren't exclusively the fault of Jahan Dotson. But
good. I'm glad you said that because it makes it sound like y'all forgot the quarterback sucked. The pass protection sucked. The play calling was
sucked.
Left to be desired.
Sucked.
And
no,
y'all act like
too.
It was. You act like it was just the receiver. It's the NFL. Anybody they put out there ought to be able to get the job done.
If only that was the case.
Well, I'm just saying, when's the last time you had two people out there that were Pro Bowl worthy? Maybe it's just me, but I think this thing has really been stretched out of proportion. Is if you're accustomed to having two Pro Bowl type players out there. I was like, what game have people been watching?
I don't think you're accustomed to it, but I don't think it's wrong to strive for it.
Okay, yeah, you can strive for it. You can strive for a lot of things. But how about the left tackle to me is far more concerning that are we to believe that we're going to put a guy out there to start that's never played in this league, hasn't practiced a lot, hasn't been healthy, as opposed to a man that started and played in the NFL? That, to me, is a bigger question than who the hell the second wide receiver is.
But yeah, but long-term, there is the thrill that they seem to have an answer. Whether you think that Brandon Coleman's going to be ready for week one or not, you can at least look at it and say, well, this is the guy they think is going to be good to go. We don't really know, but the thrill of the unknown means he could be really good. He could suck, but he could also be really, really good, whereas it doesn't necessarily look like in broad daylight there's a massive plan at wide receiver two. It feels like they're kind of fumbling through the process a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. But again, them fumbling for who the two receiver is pales in comparison for me. I don't give a crap. I care about who is ready to play left tackle in the opener against Tampa Bay and a guy who I know is highly creative on defense. That, to me, is a bigger concern because I think that if I have to go to two tight ends or three tight ends, I can still play football. But I can't get through a football game if I'm shaky at left tackle. That's how I look at it. I don't have an alternative. I can't cover that one up. When I think I can get through a game, I just don't think – I think De'Ami Brown answered questions for me. I had him under the thumb now. Hey, dude, what you going to do? Who are you? Think he stepped his game up and said, how you like me now? Here, I'm here. He kind of gave me something. Okay, I'll accept that. These other guys, I don't know. I got to see. I'm with you on that. Your point was very well taken. I'll give you that. We got some questions. But I just think that left tackle position, because the guy who might be penciled in, I don't even know if he's taking, if he's going full tilt in practice against our guys. If he's doing that, that's a good look. That's a good look. You know, but we'll see. Now, your social media profile is booming. H. Hernandez says, come on, Doc. Didn't Dave taking a slap? He says, if that hurt, we need to take Double D's man card. My wife hits me twice as hard as that when I misbehave. You believe that?
He's lying.
Because that was a hit. You got hit, dude.
She hit me like I stole money from her, and yeah. I got the marks on the chest to prove it.
Yeah, you got hit.
If he's not lying, he should call the authorities.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Hernan, you know we love you, brother, but that was strong. But no, you are, what you did was strong. I really can't believe that Eminem didn't take that hit. I really can't. Good on your part.
Well, again, I offered to do it. I was like, you know, we need a bit for the segment. So I offered to do it.
Yeah, you stepped up. Now, he won't respond.
I did send it to him. I told him this is what I do when there's no football.
You know, he responded to me yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I sent a deal to Jackson. He accidentally went to him, and he responded. I was shocked. I told him, hey, man, I apologize for disturbing you. You were probably meditating.
Did you buy a lottery ticket?
Did he?
No, did you? Did he responded to you. Your luck was good. You might as well buy a lottery ticket.
I know it. I know he actually responded. I was thinking, do I save this? I mean, I actually have Big Ed Montgomery. Shout out to Montgomery. He responded. It's like when you get a Sheen response, because they're rare. They're rare. And I usually don't erase his stuff. But I got two smiley emojis and a prayer emoji. Isn't that cool? And usually you get nothing from him. I mean, that's his patented deal. Stop it. I know what he's saying. Whatever I do, I can hear him. I know what he's saying, you know. I know exactly what he's saying, but it's so many things that I would definitely like to see him. You know, Andre, we got Andre Jones Jr. back on the practice squad. KJ Henry wrote a very classy thank you to the fan base that he didn't surprise me at all. I had him on on the show on draft day, you know, when he was selected. And, you know, his father, who, you know, had to make the Fletcher jersey on, who was a Skins fan. It was a great story and a classy kid. How many kids sent out a letter or whatever, respond, when they're no longer on a team? That was classy. How many kids take their NIL money and put it towards helping their father get a kidney? I mean, some things go beyond the game, even though a guy may not have all the prerequisite skills that you chop up. Well, I need him to do this, this, and that. But where does that thing that matters, makes you have character? I think he was on a lot of people. I like Ben, a lot of you guys. I don't know if you did your final 53 as well. He was on a lot of people's 53 based on how he performed. He'll be in this league a good while. You know, he will be in this league a good while because what he may lack in that quick twitch deal we've been talking about, he makes up for it in heart. And he just strikes me as one of those guys. He's going to grind him out 7, 8, 9, 10 years in this league. And that's a lot to say about the Clemson program and what it's done, and a program that only you as a college football guru is going to be able to answer for a lot of us that are scratching our head. Is this a pivotal season? Can they pivot? Or have we seen the end of the Clemson dynasty?
Does Dabo Swinney want to use the transfer portal? If the answer to that is no, then the answer to your question is yes. If the answer to your question is yes, then the answer is no. If he evolves, then they'll be back. If they do not, while everyone else is playing chess and they're playing sorry, then they're going to be sorry.
Interesting, dude. Saw this guy his first year. I'm with, you know, doing ACC games, and everything he said he was going to do for the program, he did. I'm a little bit surprised this doesn't get more run, that he's been one of the few big-name programs to swim against the stream. And I think this is the last year that they'll be able to get away with it. I don't think the alums have been putting a ton of pressure. I think this is the end of it. I think it's going to get sweet or bitter this year in Clemson. I think Clemson and Texas A&M are the two programs that I'm looking at to see. They're going to be drastic turns or changes in these programs if there's not a change in their results. What say you?
I'm in the same boat as you are.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm good. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. If I get you to agree with anything in college football, we're still on the same page. That means it's time for me to take a break. As we get to 11:21 here on Team 980, this is the Kevin Sheehan Show, DOC D-Agent, along with Denton Day. Team 980 listener line is 301-230-0980. You are welcome to join as well, but you will be running out of time because at the top, we're going to get down to Ben. We're going to get down to Benjamin, and also we're going to also spend some time with Jackson. So you're running out of it. If you want to speak your piece, take advantage of it now or forever. Hold your peace. Back in a moment.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yesterday was interesting. Denton, Grant, and Danny, they had an awesome interview. Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, really opened up and explained where they are, where they've been, where they want to go. I thought it was awesome, and we have the opportunity to share some of that with you right here on the Sheehan Show.
And, well, Doc, this is Dan Quinn after practice.
This is after yesterday. Practice.
Yeah, Grant Danny had Adam Peters. The conversation was awesome, but this is Dan Quinn after practice.
Oh, this is new stuff. Okay.
Discussing, this is from yesterday, but just kind of discussing some of the stuff that he saw as we lead up to week one.
Okay, good, good. Let's hear it.
You do the cuts and the waving process. It's a little quieter, different, and you need that to recalibrate a little bit. And so that's what yesterday's practice was. It was good to get back on the field because that day is heavy, and I talked to you about that yesterday. And so today, man, it was awesome. Getting back on the field, good hot day, going against one another. We had a lot of red zone work. And then they get a chance to have 3 days in a break, and they've definitely earned it. Our times together as players and coaches are intense. There's chaos. And so it's good to have a few days to clear your head and come back and absolutely go attack the season. So I really like how it's been laid out. The guys through a great training camp really have pushed it. We found roles. We're still working through some smaller ones, but for a big part of it, there's a lot of roles that we can see. It's clear and how to use the players and put them in the best spot. So wanted to hit you on that, and then we'll get started.
Hey, Dan. I wanted to ask you about team captains. Have you decided on who they're going to be, and what's your process for naming them?
We'll be using game captains. And I'll also utilize a group of some leaders that will be kind of with me on some decisions that or emphasis that I want to make with the team. But we'll pick game captains until the postseason, and then we'll pick postseason captains that'll be throughout.
So when you say game captains, each game a different guy will wear the C on his chest?
They won't wear it, but they'll be a captain.
I bugged you enough today.
Thank you.
I'll let you go.
Thank you. it couldn't last.
All right. You picked up Noah Brown. What does he add?
I think the first thing I think about with Noah, this is a dog-ass competitor. Like, he is a really physical player. He's got a great background, both as a receiver on teams. He's a fantastic teammate. And so when we had the ability to add him to this group, it was a very easy decision from the coaching side. And Adam had, certainly scouted him and knew him. And so he brings a lot to our team. So I'm excited for everybody to get to know him and be around him. He and Terry were actually part of the same recruiting class at Ohio State. I knew they had played together, but I knew they had come in together. No surprise that these are two really class act professionals that they would have been hanging around years back.
And then two of the guys you guys brought in the offseason for the offense, Austin and Zach, what have you seen from each one of them specifically? And, Zach seems to feel he's in the best, he feels as good as he has in a long time.
Yeah, we've been very intentional about him, and we have to actually protect Zach from Zach. Like, he's just ready to go and wants more and more. The thing that I've been impressed with in the passing game, especially as it gets down to the red zone, John, that's, I think, where Zach comes alive the most. He's got just feel and eyes. He's able to share that information. And when you can share feedback with teammates, with coaches, hey, I can see Luvu's alignment, what that means, you can see how valuable that would be. Austin, I knew, was a really good pass catcher. I probably didn't know how strong he is. He is, you know, you would think he's a small back. He is strong. And pound for pound, probably our strongest player. So there's not a spot that you couldn't put him in to say, hey, you couldn't go into protect or that. But I was impressed by his ability to be outside. I knew he could catch out of the backfield, but using him outside at slot, that was better than I expected.
I lied. I do.
Yes, you did. I saw. I figured it when you had the microphone in your hand.
Joe Witt, I know his emphasis on, you know, sound tackling,
yes,
takeaways has been huge. How have you seen that translate with players? How has his teachings come across to players?
Yeah, I think what I love and really admire about Joe is, like, he has got really firm principles and standards, and he doesn't back off of them. When he sees it, he recognizes it. When he sees it on the other side that it's not good enough, he'll also recognize it. And even more impressive, which you always like about a good leader, if he felt like he did something wrong, he acknowledges that too. And most of the good coaches I've been around, that's a poor call by me, I could put you in a better spot. Joe has all of those traits. I think what I probably expected but have been impressed by is there's very few busts with Joe. Like, he really pushes the communication to make sure that everybody's on the same page. He is not somebody that lives in the gray. And I think that's really important for a ball player and for a defense to make sure these are the rules, this is how we play it.
And then with Coleman working his way back, how did he look today and kind of what's your...
Yeah, I spent just a moment with him after practice because he, you know, was able to do quite a bit yesterday and then today padded to go. So he was good. I asked him if anything was guarded. He said, no, man, I'm good to go. He felt strong. He felt good. So I'm pleased that we're leaving the camp spot, you know, in good health. And that's the goal that you want as the coach and Adam and I, to say you leave training camp, you know, with a healthy team. We're, you know, certainly disappointed that Jordan, you know, was injured, but he's going to be back, and no one else is into that space. So that's exciting, Nikki, because that's not the easiest thing to do. You're trying to be tough. You're trying to establish that it's this razor thin line to make sure that the team's healthy, and you also have to put in work. You have to build some resilience, and so that's the fine line that you go with. And I'm just constantly looking at the team, where they're at. There was a few days I pushed a little more, a couple days I, you know, might have turned the dial back without them knowing, but they deserve this break too to reset, and we'll come out flying.
Because they were too afraid to ask. Johnny Newton, where's he at?
Yeah, so Johnny's doing good. That's okay. I like it. Today's kind of fun. The part for Johnny, he's the change of direction, the speed is good. I think you'll probably see him back into these practice reps coming up beginning into next week, and then we'll have a, you know, better estimation if he's ready to play, depending on how much practice he gets in. He's chomping at the bit, much like Coleman was. Coleman was just a little further along, different injury obviously, but it's not far, and I'm excited to get him back into the mix. He's definitely wanting to do that. We're just not going to miss a step with him, Ben.
And for this little break, for Jaden, it's a little break, but it's also the last free weekend before he's going to start playing. Do you have any guidance for him? Do you get any advice as to what you want him to do, cram or just avoid football? Or what's...
I would be more in favor of everybody taking a break from it, because this is the only time that really happens. And so they put so much in. There's such an intense time for the players and the coaches in the time. So I encourage them and then the coaches as well. Like, you'll actually have a clearer head sleeping on some things, and then by Sunday some new ideas will form, but you do need that. And that's why I'm in favor of this. In the old days, you guys remember, it was the fourth game, and then, man, you were trying to hustle and get right back to it. And so this has been good, and I think it's better for the mental health of everybody involved. The season's long, it's hard, and so having a little space to just breathe is a good thing before you get started.
Dan, I know you know this because you've been around the block a few times, but the coach wants to win every game on the schedule.
Yes.
No building. The front office is thinking further down the road. How does that kind of push-pull manifest itself specifically with this group, with a, you know, with a potential franchise quarterback? knowing there'll be growing pains, but you got a game in 8 days.
Yeah, I think, you may or may not have heard me say this, but we're a developmental staff, and so that means for every player, how far can we take them? And there's going to be some players that are early into their careers, and in the years ahead, and we're saying, I remember that guy was a rookie, he was good then. And there'll be some players on this rookie class that will be that. It takes some lumps, like you said, to go through some growing pains when you're playing for the first time in the NFL against people that have played 5, 10 years. So you have to live through those, but it's also how you learn. And my experience has been when you put those guys and you put their feet to the fire, by the time November hits, they've been in those fights, they've built that resilience, and they keep going. And so it's an important part of it. But our development here isn't just with the young players. And so the way I explained it to the team, we call it EPP. It's before practice, after practice, kind of like scaffolding on a building. You put it up, you keep working, and then pretty soon you take the scaffolding off, and here's your building, and you got work, and you got good stuff to do that. And so that's where I think we're starting to take this scaffolding off, and then you keep digging in on the next thing. And but I don't really think about too far down the road, just, you know, how do we go win this week and find the matchups in this game and then do it again. And then if you keep doing that enough, you know, the kind of the results will take care of itself.
So, Coach, you said that you told the players to take a little break. Will you take a mental break because it's a long season? Are you charging ahead for get ready for Tampa?
No, I'll try to as well. And I think when you get to the end of camp or the end of any moment, you know, you're tired. So the first thing that I do is an after action about almost every portion of the things that we do. So, like, for instance, you know, the hiring process, and then into free agency, and then into the draft, into the mini camp. So after all those are completed, I write those up, what we like, what we'd like to see different. I did the same thing, you know, over the last few days of a training camp. You know, what were the markers that I wanted to see? Did we meet those? So then when you get into the 2025 off season, now you have a reference to go back to. So, you know, like, you know, what did we do last year? So before I'm able to clear my head and look forward, I do have to look back and find out what I liked, what went well, and what I'd like to see different in next year's camp or next year's travel or whatever that looks like. And so that's my last piece before I get to turn the page into Tampa, because I wanted to make sure this week was still about us and our team. And then Monday we'll begin Tampa fully in the preparation. So sometimes you can start too early on an opponent and you can overcook it. And I wanted to make sure, you know, our normal flow of a work week is Monday to the game, and we'll stay in that process, you know, as long as we can, because that process is the same every week. So I don't want to have, you know, prepare 3 weeks for one team and 1 week for another. Like, this is how we get down all the time.
So in turning the pages also, when you look at this team overall going into the first season, part of the season and the first game, is this team where you thought it would be, or is this ahead of the game?
That's a good question. I think we're probably further ahead in some areas. We really pushed a lot of the situations. So we could be at our best in the end of the half and the end of the game. So going in, I thought that would be one of the hardest things that we'd have to do, because I just wanted to constantly challenge the guys. Could we be at our best at the end of the half and the end of the game? And so they were really down for that. They were ready to be pushed in that space, and we've really responded. So I say we're probably further along in that space. The one that you worry about as a coach, probably, if you ask the other 31, the line of scrimmage, you know, for the big guys, because it's not throwing and catching and things that you can do without it. So usually the line of scrimmage play just kind of keeps improving, you know, the run game, the run defense. And so those are some of the things that I worry about every year, but I think we're further along than I probably anticipated in some spots.
We saw Jaden Noah working after practice on their own. Is it going to take a lot of that just to get Noah up to speed, or just to work with a new quarterback? Do you foresee a lot of that happening before Tampa?
I do. And, you know, that's not something that, which is fun as a coach, it makes you happy. You know, Jaden came up to me, can I take Noah? And so that's exactly what you'd hope to hear, you know, from a player, to get you know, why would we wait till Monday when I can start on this today? And so Jaden has that mindset to him. And knowing Noah, he's going to do everything he can to get up to speed as well. So not surprised. They, you know, are fantastic competitors that they're already at it.
Just special teams. Cade's been here about a week, had a good preseason finale. How confident are you? I mean, is he set to kick week one?
He is. And so getting here last week and getting some timing down, you know, with Tyler and Tress, that's an important piece to this, because that battery, it's not just, you know, like kicking off a tee where it's, although, you know, kicking, you'd think of it as a singular act, but it's the snapper, it's the holder, it's the technique, it's the rhythm of that. And so knowing that, he's coming into a pretty good situation. Having Tyler and Tress here are guys who are at the very top of their profession at what they do. And so if you were a kicker, these are the type of guys you'd want to come in with. He's got great support from the people here. He's got a very strong leg. And so got a chance really to, you know, see him when he first got here, then in pregame, then in the game, in the, you know, the last 2 days. So the more you do it, the better you feel. And he's got a really strong leg. He's like, you know, bigger size for a kicker in general, but he, long levers, and he can really rip it. So he's off to a good start.
Got time for a couple more?
The after action evaluations that you do, have you always done that?
Yeah, I'd say not always, but I did learn it from, you know, some friends in the military. And it made a lot of sense to me. So I think we've all probably been there. What did we do the last time? How did that go? And I wanted to find, if this can be different and better, then let's go through that. And so it just keeps me on track, Nikki, honestly. So I just try to do it after every marker, you know, in a season or the off season. And it helps me up to speed. I've got years of them that, you know, sometimes I refer to and use it again.
With Ridgeway traded and Johnny, maybe next week, maybe not, is there a possibility you need to bring somebody in just for the Tampa game?
We did add some guys already, and with Sheldon and Carlos. So now that you have, you know, that as an ability, you know, that would be an option if we need to. But it's not something that, you know, needs to be decided today. Let's take it all the way through, and then we can decide if that's something that we would. But I think what I, you know, appreciate about Adam, he's always kind of thinking ahead and what would we have, if what are contingencies if need be. And that's why I have so much trust in him. You know, he's kind of thinking ahead for me to make sure, like, everything's lined up that you need.
Thanks. Coach, you mentioned a lot of these guys are finding their roles. There's some smaller roles that are still going to need to be figured out down the road. But when it comes to the addition of Noah, not necessarily what he adds to the wide receiver room, but the roles of just the room as a whole now, how are you seeing that kind of construct in your mind?
Yeah, I actually, I know it's been a big topic, but I really like the wide receiver group. It's not one size fits all. They're excellent competitors. We're moving guys into different spots. You've seen McCaffrey some in the slot. You've seen Diami outside with Terry. OZ, you've seen in both space. Pringles, you know, made a good push here. JC in the slot. So there's kind of just a good mix of players that are, I think, going to be exceptional at their roles. And the best of the best teams have that. And knowing that if you can do this one thing really, really well, we can build around that. You don't have to be exceptional at everything, but this one or two things I'm better than anybody at, and then you build around it from there. If you have the player that's exceptional at everything, well, that's a hell of a deal, and that's, you know, many $1 million later ball players. But what I can say is when you do with it through different people and they deliver, there's a lot of pride that goes with that on the team and amongst their teammates. And that's why I'd made the comment, my favorite part of this team is the team. And they're just pulling for each other. They have really high standards. They're competing. We've had, you know, days like Miami and days like today, which are really hot, and just went after it. And I think that's a sign of a team that's just ready to go fight.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Of the 3 days off, how many days do you think DQ will actually tune himself off from football?
I'm more curious as to what he does to tune himself off of football.
Yeah, you know what? That is interesting. And I think it's a fair question. How do you unwind from that when you're in it like he is. Same thing for his quarterback. I mean, guys get, what, 3 days? That's like a month based on the level in which they've been going at it. It's going to be interesting. Comment, what, anything jump out at you in what he said?
I mean, I'm glad they're giving the guys days off. Not a ton in terms of like actual stuff that he said that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm glad I know this now, but I'm glad everybody's getting days off.
Yeah, to me, the wide receiver deal, that he's not worried about it, feels good about it. And also seeing that the baby left tackle, I believe he's healthy. Can't make up for the lack of reps, but I'd rather have him be healthy and not taking reps than to have dragged through it and not be 100% and gotten to work. So that's about as good of an injury report as you're going to get out of a coach. Because no coach is going to tell you anything if it was wrong. You wouldn't get it at all. So that was good. I like hearing our people talk now. I never did in the past. Because I just take coach talk to be coach talk. But when these guys are mentioning things, it's an easier buy-in for me, personally. And, you know, it's cool. And I was, and then again, I mentioned what I heard last night with Dan and Grant and Danny in hearing what their philosophy and what they're building towards. And you only get 1 year, the one first year. And I remember it vividly because I always think it was the bedrock of what that successful 12-year run was all about. And that was us going 0-5. And, you know, scrapping an offense, a system after week two and rebuilding on what would ultimately be the skeleton of that successful offensive game plan. And then there's all the halftime adjustments to where that group, that outfit, will be judged upon. Sometimes they get outsmarted from a game plan standpoint. And then we saw one of the reasons Joe's in the Hall of Fame is that they could fix something in less than 15 minutes. Now, they didn't step on the field, but they got you to buy in and trust them. And then you were able to execute it. And it doesn't have to be complicated in order to be good. Everybody just got to understand it, buy into it, and go out and do your job. And that's what it's all about. Belichick coined the phrase, you know, just do your job. But it sounds simple, but it makes all the difference in the world. And then, it's redundant, it's boring, and I know why people aren't attracted to it, because it's far more exciting to talk about the air game when people, you know, the rooster, he mocks me, and, you know, we're all doing it in jest, and we're having fun, but it's boring when people want to talk about throwing the ball as opposed to running the ball and grinding time out and, you know, slamming that ball between the guard tackle gaps, and yeah, I get it. But when you can dictate tempo to a team, you control them. Yeah, and that's the thing that's cool. All right, to break we go here on the Sheehan Show, DOC and Double D, right here on Team 980.
This What's Trending is sponsored by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Nats in action tonight. They're back at home. They host the Chicago Cubs. It'll be Jake Irvin on the mound for the Nats. First pitch at 6:45. No Brandon Ayuk to Washington. Thank God. He's staying in San Francisco. We can all pretend to be shocked by that one. 4 years, $120 million for Ayuk to stay with the 49ers. 76 of that guaranteed. In Miami, the Dolphins and Mike McDaniels agreed to an extension through 2028. Miami now has McDaniels, Tua, Tyreek, and Jalen Waddle all locked up for years to come. College football kicked off last night. Howard started the party off taking on Rutgers. Not a great day for Howard. They lose 44-6. Got a couple local teams in action this weekend. The Terps host the Connecticut Huskies on Saturday. Virginia Tech traveling to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. And UVA hosting Richmond. All those games on Saturday. And that's what's trending.
The Buffaloes, as in Colorado, avoided a pretty stiff challenge last night in primetime. I haven't had a chance to hear any of the post sound. I doubt if he was in typical Deion style of flash, because that was a hard-fought victory. Did you see a Heisman Trophy candidate or a first-round pick in the game, or several first-round picks participating in the game?
I saw a couple first-round picks. I didn't see a I don't know that I saw a Heisman winner, because you have to win games to win the Heisman, too. And if you're not going to win games, which they're not going to win as many games as I thought, just based off of the performance yesterday, once they start playing teams that are way more talented than North Dakota State, that defense can't stop anybody. I don't know that I could see if Shador or Travis Hunter, whoever it is, puts up these gaudy numbers if they're like a six-win team. You can't win the Heisman like that.
Yeah, Hunter's he's a freak. He's a freak. His hands are, yeah, I knew. Yeah, he's not disappointed whenever. Shador, as a quarterback, he's got the skill set. He looks the part. Yeah, I was, they were so bad. They're so fundamentally flawed as an offensive line a year ago. He kid took so many hits. He's tough. It's just not a good practice to take that many hits. And we'll see. We'll see. The Nebraska game will be, but that's a week from now. We got a number of big games this weekend. And because you have to, you do it for a living, I always like to ask the listener, and that same trap door, if you could only watch one, Is there a big enough game for you to say, that's my game, this is what I'm watching from top to bottom, even if I had to subscribe or pay for it, this is the game that I'm watching?
Does that game represent itself? I like how you say if I had to subscribe or pay for it. Like, I don't subscribe or pay for all the stuff that gives me college football.
Well, you got to do all of them. I know you have to do all of them. But
I mean, I would watch Miami and Florida.
That's your number one. That's a number one for you.
This week, yeah.
Okay. It's a big one. I don't know why I'm interested, because both the defensive units left a lot to be desired. LSU, Southern Cal. I'm intrigued by it. Don't know what I'm going to get from it, but that does intrigue me, and to see what will happen. A lot of good matchups. And these conference changes, the genuine excitement. And I think the Lions and the Ears, as in Mountaineers, also has piqued my interest. Being up in West Virginia, man, for home game, it's one of those special places. Just as I've said for you, when you get your first dose of Sandman live, you are going to be, you're going to call, you're going to hit me with an emoji. I don't know which one you're going to use the night it happens, but I'll be waiting for it. I can't wait to get your reaction to it. But when those muskets go off up in West Virginia and the Lions, this 12-team deal, who do you think is opened up opportunities for to get into the college football finals that might not have had a shot any other way?
Everyone other than Bama, Ohio State,
Michigan. I see Penn State.
Everybody other than the normal four that seems like are in there every single year.
But isn't Penn State one of those leaders? Do you think it gives them
assuming James Franklin does his job the way that they pay him to, yes. That's the question, though.
Ooh.
By the way, they in Morgantown shut down schools and work today in order for people to come to the game to tailgate early to be rowdy AF at noon tomorrow in Morgantown. Dude, it's going to be, Penn State has played in some very tough environments, certainly. I mean, they are a tough environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be ratchet tomorrow in Morgantown.
Man, I'm telling you what, it's... I wish I could think of the name of this Italian restaurant. It's their amazing spot, but it is a special place, man. I'm telling you, ooh-wee. I mean, the Lions, I mean, they're up to it. They host their own spot, this ferocious. And that's what college does. I don't even know if we identify the NFL that way other than, what, three or four venues? I mean, do we use ferocious? Do we use intimidating venues in the NFL? I don't know. Hold that through the break, and we'll come back top of the hour as we go, and we'll be joined by standing room only. Stay with us.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.